Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, when was the last time you had ET contact? Maybe not long ago, but maybe many times. We're all different. And most people haven't had any contact. Or at least they don't think they have. Because we don't know. There's a lot we don't know. And so to help us learn more about these ETs or whatever you want to call them, is a man who I'm not sure what he is. Is he an extraterrestrial or an ultra terrestrial? That's what it's in his book.
I'm an ultra celestial terrestrial.
You what?
I'm an ultra celestial terrestrial.
Oh, okay. I like that. And your book is called Making Contact, Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence. And you're Alan Steinfeld. So glad that you're on Energy Stew. Exactly. And we're old friends, I want the audience to know. So you're somebody I know very well.
Right. I've been on your show before, I think.
And I've been on your show, New Reality.
That's right. I think I talked about crop circles when I was on your show last.
What happened to those?
Well, anyway, thanks for doing this. And what was your question to the audience?
When was their contact? But, you know, part of your book is so full of amazing content that about all different aspects of UFOs and ET existence and the history of that on this planet, which is a longer history than anyone can imagine. And they might be all around us. You know, that the Men in Black movie, I kept telling my sons when it came out, I said, this is for real. Mm-hmm. So, and you know that. And remember, by the way, this is an audio show, even though we're on video Zoom, so gestures won't be seen by them.
Okay, I will not gesture. Okay. but you know what? First of all, I know your history of ET connections. You used to tell people what planet or star system they're from.
I do that all the time. I had a class on Monday night where I was going into past lives of students, and it was amazing who they were and what they were in other lives. And I used to think that I was too far out of the box, but this is what the universe was telling me. And I figured, all right, I'm just going to be honorable to what the universe is telling me in great detail. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I read Linda Bachman's book. And she's a psychotherapist who does hypnotic regressions, and she's regressed hundreds of people back into lifetimes on other planets.
Right, right, right. Yeah, actually, I'm doing an event with Linda Bachman called the Starseed Summit at the end of this month. But all these people have influenced my awareness. Whitley Strieber, John Mack, Linda Moulton Howe. These are the all-stars of this UFO league. And I look to them to see, they've been looking at this situation. What's out there? Who are we? What's our connection? Some of these people for 40 years or more. John Mack's no longer with us, but I did get an essay that was never published before. So I was happy. And it's very contemporary because he was a psychiatrist at Harvard University. He was part of the medical school. And he said, the people thinking they're having contact, they're not crazy. They may be having an experience that you and I can't relate to. They may actually be experiencing a greater reality. And that's sort of my overall approach to this book, that there is a reality that we are a part of, and we're just seeing the surface of things. Our consciousness, our awareness is so much deeper than the programming our society makes us think is real. We're looking at flat screens all day on computers, on televisions, but the world is not flat. The world isn't even three-dimensional. The world is multidimensional, and we are part of this greater multidimensional awareness if we can just train our mind to step out of the flatland and look at the pictures of possibilities.
Well, and the that thing I read in your book,
yeah,
is that this is so strong, all these possibilities, and where has humanity been? And a lot of it is that it's been veiled to us, these other universes and et cetera. And intentionally, and a lot of the ETs intentionally are invisible to us.
Intentionally, and also because we've been culturally conditioned, brainwashed to think that this is the only dimension there is. And if we were trained as children, I know that's what you were doing in your Heart River School, is training energy, people to sense energy. We are energy. We do not end at the borders of our skin. We don't even end at the extension of our energy field. We don't end anywhere.
I love that.
Right. The who we are is not only infinite, but it's eternal. So I think the aliens, the contact is really us. We have this alien consciousness in this animal body. We are animals, the evolving primates. I think we're upgraded by an advanced star system to kind of fast track civilization on this planet. And we are the result of a higher intelligence being infused into a lower intelligence. And our job is to see which part we're going to side with, the animal or the God.
But we don't. The God still has to be revealed to us. And maybe making contact is really about that in many ways, not just ETs showing up in spaceships and saying hello, but it goes much deeper than that.
Making contact is an inside job. It is making contact with the source of who we are in order to meet the bigger picture of what's out there. You know, there's so much perceptions we have shut down, so many sensorial possibilities, and we just think we have five senses. No, we have so much more.
But we've been shielded. For instance, you know, the scientific community is trying to find any sense that there's life outside of this planet. It's like, you know, it's crazy that they waste so much time. And it's a lot of it is because we don't understand how life can exist beyond the third dimension.
We don't understand it because we haven't been taught it. There is a science to incarnation, as you know, a science to energy. Life is not an anomaly. Life is abundant throughout creation. It is actually an emergent property.
It's conscious life. You know, it's not just life, but it's
life and consciousness and intelligence. Yes, yes.
Because even our bodies and our minds are relative that we know to third dimension, but our consciousness is eternal.
Well, it's eternal, but in the 1800s, Darwin said we evolved from apes, and I'm not doubting evolution, but Freud picked that up and said, we evolve from dead things. It looks like we evolve from dead things. New York City out there, if you hear that. And so life likes, or things like, to return to where they came from. So if we evolve from dead matter, our longing is to return to dead matter. This is the Freudian death wish. But if we evolve from a higher consciousness, our innate longing is to return to that higher consciousness. So we have
to live with it even now.
And bring it in. We are creation made manifest. We are, you know, a fractal of a greater awareness. So people have two choices. We've been programmed to think that life is an accident, and that it's just here on planet Earth, and there's nothing out there. But that's all changing. As the government, this is a big reason I wrote this book, because the government has now admitted that UFOs are real, they're not human, they're from someplace else. They're not mentioning the A word, aliens, but and they're not saying where they're from, but they're saying there's something out there we can't explain. So I thought this would be a great introduction to what is out there. How do we make contact? What's really going on? So I look at all that, but without making any definitive statement, this is why the book is composed of many different essays.
You know, a number of years ago, my brother was, he and I have developed a, we're working with a scientist who has—
Your twin brother.
Yes, my twin brother. And starting maybe 30 years ago, we've been working with a scientist who has the answer for fusion energy. And there's now a giant factory of it up in Connecticut. And my brother has been shuffling people from Washington back and forth. And one time he gave me a ride and he had this guy in his car who was the head of the International Space Station. And so I said, what an opportunity. I met this guy. What an opportunity. What do you think? What can you tell me is the first thing that people like me would ask you? And he said, I said, well, how about, what do you know about UFOs? You know? And he said, well, I can tell you there's no such thing. It's all been explained scientifically and they don't exist. And you know, he was just telling me, you know, it's like, and he was making such a point of it that it was like he was trying too hard.
Right. Well, if you think there's been, I think they've met in the last 20 years, there's been 180,000 reported sightings, according to the MUFON network and the UFO Reporting Center. Now, that they may not all be objects from other planets, but those are just reported sightings. I think there's probably a 500-to-1 ratio of people that don't report sightings to the ones that do.
Sure. Millions then.
Around the world. This is a planetary event. Everyone thinks it's just about this country. No, everywhere. I've talked to researchers in China. There's a lot of sightings in China, but you can't really talk about there. The government doesn't like it there.
Wow.
Italy. France, England, lots of Australia, South America,
everywhere, because they show up everywhere. Right. But I want to come back to what you said about that, you know, these are likely, you know, from other planets, but they could also be likely from within our own planet.
They could. I think we don't really know what they are. I think there is life on other planets and they could be visiting. But this is also a dimensional quality. I think life exists. You know, the ascended masters, these are beings that vibrated themselves off this plane and can return. And so there's a vibrational quality to the beings that have visited us. So
yeah.
I think, yes, let's establish there are beings, something visiting us. We don't know what it is, but we can take a hypothesis about maybe they're from other worlds, but they're here nevertheless to wake us up. They're not here to invade our planet. They're not here to take over. They're here because if consciousness is singular, we are a disruptive force in this sector of the galaxy, you know, with our violence and our wars and our atomic bombs. You know, atomic bombs, this is according to some researchers, rip a hole in time and space. And that is why this big onslaught of sightings that happened after 1945, because it's like they noticed that you just can't set up. They heard and saw and they said, what's that? What's going on? We got to
stop this. And they basically.
Well, I don't know if they've stopped it, but we saw how insane it is to set off nuclear weapons.
But I don't know how influential they can be, but they certainly don't like it. But, you know, I think when we can talk about ETs and other dimensions, we have to understand we're not taught the science that there can be other dimensions. And I think you know, I've tried to understand, the explicate reality versus the implicate reality. And all of these beings who have superpowers, they have to be able to transverse those two and in a way that is applicable.
Right, but You know, what happens to us? What happens when you have an out-of-body experience or near death? I mean, or lucid dream. A lot of these beings come to us in our dreams. So something is happening to consciousness, our awareness, when we interface. I mean, it is, we are already extra dimensional. The physical container is just one level of awareness, but dream states, lucidity, this is us approaching the field of other realities. Wouldn't you agree?
Right, but it's really about how do you access these other realities? And, you know, Dan Winter talks about it a lot by creating Phi. And the more that you are in harmony, the more you can get through the tunnels. And and then we talk in your book, you talk about how there likely are advanced species in the universe who know how to manipulate atoms. Because I think, to me, what I understand of it is that the access to the other side is through an opening in each atom. And since there are quadrillion atoms in every square inch, it's easy to get through all of them at once. But somehow, maybe if we can manipulate them in a way that they open easier and we can transverse through them easier, we can do all these crazy things that we believe ETs can do.
Well, what are atoms? Atoms are not little marbles or things. They're not even little particles. They're forces that create the illusion of solidity. Yeah, we're in a solid world, but there's nothing solid about an atom.
Right, but there are trillions and trillions of them in tiny spaces.
Right.
And it's considered like in each one, there's kind of like a black hole.
Yes,
So when you put them all together, they can create one big black hole that you climb through. That's why the end of death, people say, well, it was this dark tunnel and there's light at the other side. And somehow they're able to transverse this tunnel and be in this super reality.
Well, could it be possible that the empty space inside atoms and the empty space inside humans, we can pass through a wall if we have the right technology to? And I think that is partly what the ETs, whoever they are, do to get. Yeah,
exactly. Right. And also why they can appear and disappear, and why their spaceships can appear and disappear.
Exactly.
And even how can they build giant spaceships that we can't imagine building, because you have to build them brick by brick or whatever, you know.
Well, some people say their spaceship is connected to their consciousness and brains, and they're actually living. There's a kind of living essence of the ships themselves. So they're one with the consciousness of those on board. And to fly them, all you have to do is think about it. Think, because the ship responds. And thought, I could send you a thought right now, and it's faster than the speed of light. Thought is immediate.
Right. So Bell's theorem.
Bell's theorem, exactly. What is Bell's theorem? I know what it is, but
two electrons, twin electrons separate, and they can be a million miles apart, and one changes its direction of spin, the other will automatically change.
Right. Spooky to action at a distance, Einstein called it. But it's because everything, there is no real space here. Everything is connected to everything else. And if we had that understanding of consciousness, we could be here and on the Pleiades in the next moment because of thought.
Right.
And so we're in a very primitive stage of using this incredible hardware of the brain, software of the mind, and the using personality. And there's something that goes with hardware and software, that's consciousness. So we're at a primitive stage of understanding what consciousness really is. And I think the reason these beings are here is to help usher us into a new age of consciousness. Right.
And another thing you talk about in the book is what happens when our society is introduced to advanced cultures from other places that help us realize how immature and limited our culture is.
Well,
and what happens to us in that process?
Well, what can happen to us if we're very superstitious and afraid is to worship these beings as gods, and which is what Eric von Däniken's whole theory about the chariot of the gods was, that these extraterrestrials did come down here and we made them into gods. But as we learn more of who we are, we can meet these beings on an even playing field. They may be more intelligent, they may be more technically advanced, but they're not greater than the soul essence of who we are. This is where we meet them.
Right, but one question that came up in your book is that, yeah, how do we respect ourselves enough when we see how limited our world has been?
Well, we see that the limitations are not necessarily anymore, and we can overcome the limitations. We honor, it's gotten us to this point, you know, whatever technology, whatever limitation, and now we can really go into a renaissance. So, okay, we have been limited, but let's activate the full potential of what we are as human beings and overcome our limitation, because as you know, we create the realities we live in.
But you and I are prepared for that. Most people aren't.
That's why the subtitle of the book is Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence.
Right. First,
right, they have to know it's possible. I lay out the kind of game plan from the exo, from the nuts and bolts, like what's out there. And I go deeper and deeper into this awareness that there's more to us as human beings. So we all have to prepare for this. We all have to realize our true potential, which is infinite. And we have to come to a place where free energy can allow us to not be a slave to an economy that keeps us trapped. I think, you know, these ships, whatever they are, they're not filling up their gas tank to get us here, right? There's a technology that is free and available that I feel has been suppressed by the governments and multinational corporations, because that's trillions. So we have to fight for freedom and stand up and say, Congress will no longer be bought by oil companies, fossil fuel companies. We have to say, we want free energy. And I just interviewed Foster Gamble, and he is a radical. He has found free energy machines that will transform this planet. And with that is our birthright, to have abundance, to live in a creative possibility of our own imagination. We are here to be creative beings. And we only can do that when we get rid of this conditioning, this brainwashing, this limited mind, and realize that we're in the matrix.
And there seems to be a war now, right now, between the dark side and the light side.
I think that's always been going on. It's just now it's more obvious. Like everything is rising to the surface now. So, yeah, I mean, there's always been a sense of control, and now we see it. It's right out in the open. They're telling you what to do, who you are, how you should be, what you should get.
But you and I and many others, smaller percentage than the whole, are seeing this, and yet the majority of the population are just going along with it all.
Well, you know, I think they will realize at some point.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe not sooner, but later, that they've been controlled. Like, you know, wake up, smell the coffee. There's something else going on. Because isn't it becoming more and more obvious, the control and manipulation to people like me and you? Isn't that right here in front of our face?
It is. And you know, so I think we're getting near the end of the show, and I want to make sure people get this book, Making Contact, because it has so much wonderful content on many levels of...
It's a primer for people unfamiliar with the UFO situation. It takes the reader through levels and levels, from the nuts and bolts to why the government's covering it up, to researchers saying, well, these are people's reality, and to people who have integrated that experience into their everyday consciousness. Daryl Anka has been conversing with this being Bashar for 30 something years. So he is fully integrated. And there's no doubt with some of those people, there are beings here and they're visiting us and they want us to wake up to this thing we've been talking, this potential we've been talking about. Right. And that's really the undercurrent of the book. Yeah, people can buy it on Amazon and bookstores and Barnes & Noble, order it, get it, read it.
Yeah, and it's becoming very popular.
It is.
And, yes, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you for being such a good friend and a great support here.
Well, I'm so happy to be.
And I understand you're not concerned, but you're saying, how are people going to take all this in? I say, read it a couple of times and absorb the book, because there is a lot in there. And if you're unfamiliar with it, just take time and absorb what's being said without judging it. Just let it sink into you and say, is it possible? Is something like here, because these people are experts in the field and they're not stupid. They're highly intelligent, right, and they're seeing something a lot of people aren't seeing.
Yeah, I think that's the point, is that this book is very credible as long as you give respect to the quality of the people who are presenting it.
Well, they are the highest quality I've found, because I've been in this UFO field for 30 years and I called these people up who are my friends and said, would you contribute a chapter? So the book is an anthology. And there's not always agreement, but I present many parts of the elephant and it's up to the reader to put it all together.
Yes, you sure do.
And it's so fun, because no one knows, truthfully, the government doesn't know, which is why they're not telling us. None of these researchers know. No one has connected all the pieces. No one really knows what's going on here. And I think we're in something that was going to take 100 or more years to really integrate.
Right. They all need to read your book too.
Yes.
So, thanks, Alan. And thanks. How can people follow up from this show?
Well, you can follow me on my YouTube channel. That's really where all my traffic goes. That's youtube.com/newrealities. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. My new website, newrealities.com, should be up. But it is all about creating new realities, because when you do, you could never go back to the old reality. So wake up, smell the coffee, and start making contact.
Good. Thank you, Alan.
It's right. It's really right here, Peter. You know, because you've worked with your consciousness.
I know, right.
And but but you've worked with it. Right. You know it. There's no doubt for you.
Right. So, all right. So
thanks a lot.
Yes. Thank you, Alan.
All
and
right.
This is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks for listening.